Good morning, y'all.
Good morning.
We're so glad you're here with us, despite your busy Seahawks schedule anyway. So we invite you to stand as we worship and raise a hallelujah.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a
have a seat. It is really good to see you. You'll hear a little bit more of the stories on this, some this week and some next week, as Larry and Susan and I share a little bit about our recent Alaskan adventures. But boy, it is good to see you. If we haven't met yet, or you've forgotten who I am, my name is Andrew, and I have the privilege of being the senior pastor here at Columbia Grove. And just thank you for your prayers over these past couple of weeks, especially as what was supposed to be a 10-day ministry trip in Alaska turned into a 21-day ministry trip in Alaska, and a number of unforeseen things. And so I want to say thank you to Paul, to Ian, to Mark. Fantastic sermon last week, by the way. That was just dynamite. And Greg Osimacopoulos, who is truly awesome, for stepping in and doing a lot of last minute kind of things to make everything work. Well, it's kind of an exciting day, you know, here at Columbia Grove, because this is sort of the Sunday where we kind of do our fall kickoff, among other things. And so our big focus over this and the immediately upcoming weeks is connection groups. Hopefully, as you're coming through the door, you got one of these from one of our awesome ushers. Hopefully you did. If you didn't, maybe put up your hand, and we'll make sure to put one of these in your hands. There we go. You're actually one of our awesome ushers. You should be. Of course you're good. You can go get one. There you go. Yeah, you go. Should go get one. Anyways, but and get one and hand some of these out, because this is the week where we get a number of new connection groups started. Now, connection groups are one of the pillars of ministry here at Columbia Grove. We know that when people are in an environment where they're hearing one another's stories, they're sharing some life together, and they're getting into the Word together, they're praying together, that those are the conditions for Christian growth. So it can't force it to happen, but boy, this is like fertilizer on the garden of your faith. Now that could turn out, or that metaphor might not work in some capacities. But I promise these connection groups do not stink. But what they can do is they can really help you grow in your faith. And so, towards the end of the worship service, our connection group leaders are going to be actually back behind those tables. That's a hint also for our connection group leaders, as when it seems like communion's coming to a close, you just migrate your way back to the tables there. And they'll answer questions about the different groups, and we just love for you to connect somewhere, somehow. Now, if you're already looking at the little brochure and you already know, just grab one of the pens that's in the chairs, and you know, write down your basic contact info, and then at some point during the service, just or even as you're heading out the door, drop them in the baskets, the giving baskets in the back. That also would be a good place to drop those connection cards that you can see in the chair backs in front of you, as well as your tithes and offerings. And thank you so much for being a generous church, even in the midst of COVID is tough. And so it's a tougher than normal and a long, tough season of ministry. But you've been faithful, and we're getting through this together. So thank you for that. We will be talking a little bit more about connection groups later, but do keep that in mind. Keep that brochure in mind. The other thing I need to let you know about is October is Pastor Appreciation Month. Now, at the moment, every month feels like Pastor Appreciation Month around here, but October is especially so. And so our mutual ministries team have been putting together some little appreciation videos. And so here's an example of, appreciation.
Hi, Pastor Andrew and Pastor Paul. I just want to take this time to just say thank you from the bottom of my heart. You have really had come through a lot through this last year of COVID, and just really pulled it together and brought this church together as a family. And I just can't tell you how thankful I am to call Columbia Grove my home. And I say thank you. I also want to take this time to say thank you to Marcia. She has been doing the children's church, and it takes a lot for her to put that together, and then she has all these volunteers behind her, and I just want to say thank you to all of those people behind the scenes. And so we have leadership, you have people that are volunteering in the church, you know, vacuuming, cleaning bathrooms. There is so much going on, and I just want to say thank you. But Pastor Andrew and Pastor Paul, thank you very much.
Oh, that's so cool. So there's going to be an ice cream social that's happening next Sunday right after worship. It'll be out under the little portico area, so it's, you know, all the outdoors stuff. So we're doing everything we can to make sure we do it safe, but we can still connect. We can still connect. So let's connect, and that would be a great way to get together. Now, today, we get to do something super, super cool. We get to dedicate a baby. And so Harper Floyd and Harper Floyd's posse, the grandma posse. Do you know grandparents make a huge difference in somebody's life? You heard about this? Actually, we have a connection group. You should if you're a grandparent, you should check. Come on up, guys. You should check out our the connection groups about grandparents. Ray would love to talk to you about that. Yeah, come on up. And most importantly, yeah, so we're going to give you a mic. I'm going to keep just a little bit of distance. I am 17 days post-positive from COVID, so I should have no contagion, but I do have a little bit of a cough, and I do not want to cough on anybody. So I'm going to be kind of careful with that. But you know, yeah, just right over there. But you know, church family, when we dedicate a child, it is a really big deal, because not only is that the parents and grandparents offering themselves to the Lord and offering this child up to the Lord, saying this little beautiful little girl is going to be raised in a Christian home. It is also a church family's commitment to children's ministry. It's us collectively saying we love it when we get occasional stains on the carpet. We're okay with there being nicks in the walls from time to time. We're okay with disruption and noises, and we promise to pray for our kids, and we promise to, you know, seek God about volunteering in children's ministry, because children matter to God greatly. Amen? Okay. So people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, which is a fancy word for saying Jesus got ticked off. You want to make Jesus mad? You tell kids to leave the church, okay? Jesus was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. So I want to ask you, Sarah and Brett, will you, as parents, by God's help, dedicate yourself to the Christian nurture of your daughter and all your children? Will you bring them up in the worship and teaching of the church so that she and they may know Christ as Savior, be baptized, and follow him as Lord? If so, say, "We will."
We will.
We will.
That's what I thought. Okay. And Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle, do you promise to support Brett and Sarah as they do this? Are you going to pray for them? Do you have their back?
Absolutely.
Do. That's what I thought. And congregation, let me grab this. Will you stand? Will you, as members of this congregation, dedicate yourselves to be faithful to your calling as members of the body of Christ, so that Harper and all the children in our midst may grow up in the knowledge and love of Christ as Savior? If so, say, "We will."
We will.
That's what I thought. Let's pray together. And congregation, I invite you just to extend a hand of blessing. And online, you can even do that. You can do this at home from your couch. You can just extend a hand of blessing. So, Lord, together we pray for Brett and for Sarah. We thank you for the extended family around them. And, Lord, we thank you for Harper, this beautiful young gift. Lord, may she be raised in a Christian home. And thank you that Brett and Sarah are doing everything in their power to do that. That she may come to know you and experience your love in the environment of home. that she would give her heart to you, be baptized, and one day come to follow you as her Lord and Savior. So, Lord, would you bless her and would you bless them? She belongs to you, Lord. She is a gift from you. Lord, help us to steward and care for that gift really well. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Congregation, please have a seat. And we're just going to have a brief word of prayer also. Lord, we just pray you bless all our kids. And so as they're getting ready for children's church, Lord, just bless them. And the people who are volunteering for children's church, God, thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, help the entire church to be a place that is truly welcoming to children because you love them so much. Amen. Amen. So this would be a good point to be friendly with each other, to give somebody a high five, a fist bump. You can wave at them from across the aisle. We'll put some social media greetings on the screen as well. So for those who are joining us from other places, we can also say hi. But just take a moment to greet a few people, and we're going to jump back into worship in a minute or so.
As we make our way back towards our seats, we invite you to either stand or sit or whatever you're comfortable. We're going to move right back into some worship with just a beautiful song called Build My Life.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you,
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Oh, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever say, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Prayer, and I invite Ann Benedin to come lead us in that prayer today. Thank you so much, Ann. That mic should be on and ready for you.
Good morning. Will you pray with me? Father, how great it is to be with my brothers and sisters this crisp fall morning and to get to talk to you. I want to spend some time focusing on your wonderful Holy Spirit and his qualities. I thank you that one of the things your Spirit does is it guides us. I thank you that when we don't know what to do or what to think, we can ask you to point the way. So would you guide us through this terrible pandemic, that it's ever changing? I pray for those in the trenches who just want a break, that you would continue to give the ability to push forward so that our kids and adults can be COVID-free or on the road to health. Thank you that your Spirit not only guides us, but it also comforts us. So, Father, I pray right now that you would do that for Joyce Reason and Mary Clark and their families. Death can be so overwhelmingly sad, heavy, and dark. Since you are the God of all comfort, would you please, for these two families, be the good shepherd and comfort them as only you can. Father, we have a couple specific needs in our body right now. We need a children's director. We are doing the best that we can right now, but man, we so want a vibrant ministry where our kids can learn about Jesus, have the opportunity to put their faith in Jesus, and then to learn to love like Jesus. Could you please, please bring us that person? In the meantime, thank you for Marcia and her servant's heart and for all the volunteers that have stepped up. Keep it coming. And speaking of servant's heart, I think of Brent Capel and how he is so generously giving of his time for this body. God, right now his physical heart needs some help. Could you please bring the electrical activity of his heart to normal sinus rhythm? And can you strengthen his muscle fibers, his heart muscle fibers, so that they can adequately pump out that blood? God, globally, I pray for our brothers and sisters in Syria. And if you could, even right now, today, this evening for them, provide them food, and so that they can see it comes from you. And our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan, keep them safe. Hey, God, I am fired up about what you're doing in Oman. That some of the imams and some of the Mutada leader guys are curious about learning about Jesus. That is so great. And can that continue? Father, not only does your spirit guide and comfort us, but it convicts us of sin. And I thank you for me that for the most part, I'm on a short leash. That because you love me so much, you prompt me to not want to hang out in sin. And I know connection groups are a key component of building a healthy spiritual life, one that doesn't want to hang out in sin. So thank you for these connection groups that are starting up this week and for the meal. And I ask that you will prompt people to sign up. Finally, God, yay, 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 that Andrew, Susan, and Larry are back. You answered our prayers. So right now, I pray for Andrew that as he leads us into your precious word, that you will give him good recall, that his connecting points would come together, and that he would be led by your spirit, and that you would give us focused attention. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much, Anne. Can you tell that she's a nurse? You know, nurses pray, you know, sinus rhythm. You're like, wow, this is, yes, 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 Lord, sinus rhythm. Like, I love that. I love that. Anne is also a connection group leader with our pickleball. So if you like pickleball or you want to play pickleball or you wonder what pickleball is, you know, talk to Anne. She's a wonderful, wonderful connector. And it's been a great place for people to get to know one another and just build relationship. Build relationship. As we connect to one another, as we connect to the Word of God, we grow. So anyways, I just came back from Alaska, and things did not go entirely as planned. So, well, quick little slideshow. So it was with Larry and Susan Letts. That's them. If you ever need to go on an Alaskan trip and quarantine, they are the best people in the world to do that with. Well, we were traveling to the village of Shaktulik. Let's put a picture up of Shaktulik, which is a village that we've had a long-term relationship with. Pastor Mary was pastoring there for some time. We've sent teams there for some time, and we've had a rich relationship with that congregation. We were able to continue that relationship and build on that and meet with local leaders and pray and sing and children's ministry and all sorts of great stuff. And then we made our way to the village of Koyuk, which you're seeing on the screen right now. And that's a village that we hadn't spent any time with. And so we're hoping to build relationships with local leaders. It just, we ended up building relationships with local leaders in a way very differently from what we had anticipated. And so shortly after we landed in Koyuk in that airplane, Susan started to experience some COVID symptoms, which was, of course, really unusual because we're following all the precautions, all the immunizations, all the things you're supposed to do. And by 2 days later, all three of us were COVID positive and had some COVID symptoms. Now, thankfully, they weren't super severe. Susan probably had it the worst, needless to say, the village of Koyuk was incredibly gracious, incredibly kind. We spent the first 5 days in the Koyuk Covenant Church that you see there, and then they ended up relocating us, and this was a really wonderful thing, to a quarantine house, and you can see the quarantine house there. And, You know, in the process, we got to know largely over the phone and from a distance and behind masks, we got to know a lot of the church leaders as they really helped out. Tremendous hospitality in Alaska. And Koyuk is remote. It's a village of about 400 people on the edge of the Bering Sea, and it's about a 30, 40-minute flight away from Nome, just about 800 miles south of the Arctic Circle. It's very remote. So, for example, the quarantine house where we were, even the church sadly did not have running water, so that was a bit of a challenge. The house where we ended up staying did have running water. We had to find a crescent wrench and get some of the plumbing all working again, but it did not have a working toilet because the toilet was broken. There's no hardware store, and they hadn't got one on the plane from Nome yet. So there are some challenges. There were some challenges. And we saw God repeatedly provide. So whether that's with the health that we needed or the provisions that we needed, you know, have you ever had a time where you've had to pray for a can opener? I've been there. I know what it's like to pray for a can opener and then have a can opener arrive. And so there were moments where it was testing, to say the least. It was a difficult phone call home to say, honey, I'm going to be here a while. And at the time that phone call was made, we didn't know exactly how long we'd be there. So some tough phone calls to local church leaders as well to say, hey, guys, I think we're going to need to do a lot of scrambling. And they did. And they rose to it. And God provided. And it worked out. Now, the reason why we do trips like this is because, it is good to go to different places to serve. And we certainly did that, and we look forward to doing that in the future. You know, we get to tell people about Jesus and encourage the local church, and we got to do some, you know, music ministry and children's ministry, and got to, you know, pray with people, and a lot of great stuff where we got to serve. So it's great to go to serve. But the real reason we go and why I'm looking forward to and why I think even with the challenges of travel, I think it's still 100% worth it, is that when we go and we spend time in other cultures and other environments, we grow. We grow. Because, you know, all of us, and this is going to kind of tie into what we'll be talking about as we enter into the book of Luke. See, all of us, we are marinating in our own culture. You know, we are formed and shaped by the quote-unquote regular world around us. We're being discipled by our culture. So whether that's the media that you consume, you know, if you're on Facebook, which some of you right now are because you're joining us on Facebook, to a certain degree you're being discipled by Facebook. Or those of you who are joining us on YouTube, you're being discipled by YouTube. Though if you're watching mainstream media, you are being discipled by mainstream media, whatever that channel happens to be, your favorite channel. If you like alternative media, you are being discipled by alternative media. So sometimes it's really helpful for us to get into completely different environments and go, wow, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who see the world in a very different way. Like, for example, like we got to hang out with church leaders in these villages, and I think especially of Shaktulik, where their ancestors have been on that land for more than 2,000 years. That's a different perspective. You know, when here we think of a home is 100 years old, you're like, oh, that is an old house. No, it's not. Or when native leaders meet to make big decisions, they ask this question, what choice would be good for 7 generations from now? That is an entirely different way of looking at the world. And that's one we can learn from, rather than, oh, what's going to help in the next election cycle? Or what's going to help with the next quarter profits? That's a very different way of looking at the world. and it's needed. We start to see through other people's eyes and other people's experiences. It's so worth it. So we are looking forward to having teams in the future. And now that we've got, you know, we've got good relationships with Shaktuluk and Koyuk. And I should point out, I mean, some of the ways our prayers were answered also is that to the best of our knowledge, even though we caught COVID, we were not patient zero. There were a number of outbreaks around the same time that I'm not going to go into detail, at least not this week, on that. From the contact tracing, we didn't pass it on to anyone. We kind of caught it fast enough and did what we needed to do fast enough so we didn't harm our witness in those places by spreading something that in those villages and places that remote. I mean, guys, it's serious. It's really serious. It's bad enough here. You're right. It's serious everywhere. But especially when the nearest hospital is a 40-minute flight away. But the reason, so the, you know, when we go into other cultures, we start to see the world through different eyes. And we need to. It helps to make us more aware of the things we take for granted here. Like, now this is the super earthly and worldly one. I will never take indoor plumbing for granted. Again, I promise you that. And you know, honey buckets don't contain any honey. Not a drop. They are nasty things. Or Wi-Fi. You know, these things are just take for granted. God provided, but sometimes it is really good to get pushed way out of your comfort zone. So, you want to sign up for a next trip? And I'm joking a little bit, because we're going to plan really carefully. We learned a lot. But I actually hope that you would. When we go outside of our regular environments, we grow so much. And we become even more aware of you know, these assumptions that we make in our quote-unquote kind of home culture, whatever home culture is for you. It makes us more aware of how we are being discipled by the culture and the world around us. We're deeply affected by the messages that are coming at us all the time, whether that's the overt ones through media, through teaching, or, you know, the more subtle ones like family of origin. You know, those things that live deep inside of you about what makes life important and what you're supposed to live for. A friend of mine who's become just really influential in my life more recently, Pete Scazzaro, you know, he uses this phrase, Jesus lives in your heart, but remember, grandpa lives in your bones. You know, that we've got these things, these elements of family heritage, the scorecard of family that is deeply entrenched in who we are. And as we grow in our faith, we become increasingly aware of that. That's also why I'm so excited for heading into this series, and I'm going to be swinging hard to try to do everything I can to convince you to join some sort of a Bible reading plan. Now, we're starting a Luke plan today, and that would be a great start, great place to be. But because here's the thing. You are being discipled by somebody or something all the time. If you are a follower of Jesus, or you want to be a follower of Jesus, or you wonder what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, you aspire to be transformed by the love of and grace of Jesus Christ, you need time with Him. You need time in the Word of God. And so even as we open up the book of Luke, and today we're going to be in one of the latter parts of Luke chapter 2, in some ways it's kind of like this cross-cultural experience. Because not only are we jumping into a story that's 2,000 years old and it's happening in the Middle East, but we're also going to be encountering, in this case, a man by the name of Simeon is going to be our travel guide for this particular cross-cultural experience. And we're going to see a value in Simeon's life that when we drill down into it, we're going to realize this is really different than the values of our culture. And I hope if our hearts are open to it, we'll just allow God's word to challenge us deeply. So we're going to be in the book of Luke. Here's the big picture of what we're trying to do over the next 8 weeks. This is the Luke challenge, okay? Is that every week you'd be reading about 3 chapters of the book of Luke. If you would like to have a pocket version, we've got a whole bunch of them on the tables in the back. Just take one, and there's a reading plan inside the first page. There's also bookmarks if you want to use your regular Bible or your Bible app or whatever. But basically, we're trying to read about 3 chapters a week and just see what comes up from that, like what you notice from that. Because see, the Holy Spirit of God so frequently speaks to us through the Word of God. And so we say, Lord, just reveal to me what you want me to notice. And then what I challenge you to do then after you read is you talk to somebody about it. Now, we have a few connection groups that are going to be following the book of Luke, and that could be a great way to join. There's an online group that's wonderful. There's a Thursday night group that's going to be wonderful. Really excited about that. But here's the thing. If you can't find a group that fits your time, just go rogue. I mean, just find somebody. Say, hey, let's meet up over a cup of coffee and just talk about, like, what's challenging you in God's word? Like, what do you notice? Here's some of the questions. Like, what was confusing? What makes you think anything different about God? How does this challenge the values of our culture today? How might this change the way we live? Like, just to kind of treat it like a book club. Like, just read the word of God and just talk about it. That's the challenge. And my hope is as we go through the book of Luke, we're going to be encountering all these, you know, not only like as we're watching the disciples discover who Jesus is, we're going to rediscover for ourselves who Jesus is. The book of Luke's kind of cool. It was written by Luke.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he used the force. No, actually, he didn't. But what did happen is what seems to be the case is there was somebody named Theophilus, who was probably some sort of a wealthy benefactor that said to Luke, Luke, I want to have an orderly account. Now, Luke had been a traveling companion of Paul, so he was well familiar with the early church. He was known for being a detail-oriented, meticulous person. And so Luke did some research. And so the Gospel of Luke ends up including some aspects of Jesus' story that the other Gospels don't include. It seems that Luke had spent some serious time interviewing Mary. You know, Luke spent time talking to Jesus' mom. You want to get to know somebody, talk to their mom. Except for my mom, who's online right now, and she just had a birthday this week. You could call her if you want. She'll give you all the goods. But you know, you want to get to know somebody, you go talk to their mom. They're going to give you the straight goods. And so Mary is recounting all this stuff to Luke that you know, some of the other gospel accounts, maybe they just kind of got straight to the action of his ministry. And she wanted to talk about Jesus' childhood. And so you're well familiar with the story of the shepherds. But today we're going to pick up the story in something that happened probably about 6 weeks after Jesus' birth, after the shepherds have already left. We don't know whether or not the Magi have arrived at this point, or maybe they're coming a little bit later. But see, Mary and Joseph, they're in Bethlehem, and they travel to Jerusalem to dedicate their baby Jesus. How appropriate for this Sunday. So, let's pick things up. We're gonna discover Jesus through Mary's eyes, and in particular, we're gonna encounter a man by the name of Simeon. So let's pick it up together. Luke 2, verses 22 through 35. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Holy Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, just okay, quick pause. Imagine, so Mary and Joseph, they're bringing Jesus into the temple to be dedicated. There's probably a bunch of other couples bringing their children into the temple to be dedicated that day, and out of nowhere comes this strange guy. And so the strange guy locates Mary and Joseph and Jesus. And Simeon took Jesus in his arms. That's why Mary remembered this, because like this is weird. This doesn't normally happen at an infant dedication. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, now get this. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed him and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword, Mary, will pierce your own soul too. So that's the end of the reading. That's like the weirdest child dedication right there. Some guy comes out of nowhere. This child is going to be the Messiah. This child is going to cause huge, huge uproar in Israel. It's going to cause people to go to one side or the other on this. This child is going to cause the hearts of all people to be revealed. And Mary, your heart's going to get broken. But I want to pick things up with this one phrase. This is the one that just knocks me off my feet that Simeon said. This is something that, I don't know if you caught this or not, but this is so countercultural. So countercultural. Verse 29. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. See, we've got something in common with Simeon. All of us, we've got bucket lists, right? Now, the phrase bucket list, if that's a weird one, that's like, one of the things I learned in Alaska, you got to be really careful with just sort of lower 48, you know, idioms. But like a bucket list, you probably heard of this. You know, these are these things you like are your life goals. You know, the list that you have, the trips you want to take, the things you want to, accomplish before you die. We all have those things. All of us have those things. And at the top of Simeon's list was only one thing. Jesus. The moment he held Jesus in his arms, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Now that I know Jesus, my list is complete. For Simeon, Jesus was truly the highest goal of his life. Now, if we spend some time drilling down on that, that should challenge us quite a bit. Because, you know, in American Christianity, Jesus often ends up being more like a checkbox than a goal. So we were at youth group on Thursday night, and I don't know about you, I love teens. I think teens are just awesome. Among other reasons, because they are so honest. They haven't learned to, like, you know, fake it and use, like, churchy language, like, you know, like we all have. How you doing? I'm fantastic. No, you're not. You know, all those things. You know, so they just don't, they, you know, they just tell you the straight goods. I love teenagers. So we were trying to open up, you know, I was trying to lead into a devotional. Let's open up the book of Luke. And one of the students said this, and just being so honest, she said, you know, I was at camp this summer, and I kind of got my God feel. You know, we did like 3 Bible studies a day for a couple of weeks. I'm good for the whole year now. And no, I just applaud that. No, that's just being honest. But the thing is, that's how we treat Jesus a lot of the time. This student just had the courage to say what a lot of us just think. No, I got my Jesus part completed. Because what I really want to do. What I really want to do is I've got these career goals. Or what I really want to do is I've got these family goals. What I really want to do is I've got these maybe economic goals. That's what my life is really all about. And I'm glad that I know Jesus, because that way, you know, when I die, checkbox, I believe that Jesus died and rose again. I believe he's my Savior. Great. I get to go to heaven. That is awesome. Check and move on. And move on. We do this. Now, I'm not saying that having a bucket list is bad. You know, the things, you know, your life goals, those are good. Spend some time with those. That's good. I mean, I got life goals. I got career goals. You know, I'm looking forward to it, you know, seeing in Columbia Grove in the next 20 years being a place that raises up at least, you know, 20 vocational level, pastoral level leaders. I want to be a person that is part of raising up the next generation. I hope you want to be a part of that with me. I am looking forward to the day when Columbia Grove is thriving and healthy enough, and we really find our post-COVID feet again. Like you know, so that out of the health of the church, we plant another church. I'm looking forward to that. That's really good. I've got some personal goals, some family goals as well. I'm looking forward to, just like I had the privilege of doing last summer, of walking our youngest. Ooh, boy. Our youngest daughter down the aisle and giving her away to somebody that I know is going to be a great life partner for her. I really want to one day, I want to hold a great-grandchild in my arms one day. You're blessed. Those are good goals. Those are great goals. I hope you got goals like that too. Hope you do. But here's the thing. Jesus is the highest goal. You know, Mark, last week, he talked about, like, transactional faith, among other things. You know, but that's one of the markers of American Christianity, I'm afraid. God, I will put my faith and trust in you as long as you bless me. As long as you help my life to go better. But if you're not keeping up your end of the bargain, God, well, I am going to stop believing in you. As if that actually hurts the Lord. That just hurts you. I am going to stop believing in gravity. You know, I am going to stop believing in the moon, you know, or whatever it is. But we do this crazy stuff with God, because we expect God to be like he's a vending machine. I'm dropping in my quarters. Bang, bang, bang. Where's my pop, man? Where's my candy? But I'm here to tell you, I think of this, the American Christianity, you know, the kind of, you know, God, the flag, and apple pie Christianity, the, like, you're an American, so of course you're a Christian. It's leaving quickly. Our culture is changing really fast. 10 years from now, I don't think we'll have some of those latent values in many areas of our country. And there's some parts of that that I know we're lamenting and fearing, and understandably so. But this much I also know is that true biblical Christianity, of people who are seeking to follow Jesus and let his love and his grace transform our heart, that will never die. Jesus said the gates of hell can't prevail against our church. A little bit of, you know, just wishy-washy culture isn't going to stop it. And that's why it's all the more vitally important that we fix our hearts on Jesus as the highest goal of our life. Not because we just want to get something out of him. Though often as we follow Jesus, our lives do get blessed. We do find our marriages getting better. We do find our children thriving more. It helps you economically most of the time when you learn how to give, because now you've got a healthy relationship with money instead of just a self-centered one. God loves to bless people that way, but that's not the reason we follow Jesus. We follow Jesus because he is worthy. Do you hear me, church? You're awfully quiet. We follow Jesus because he is worthy of it. He truly is the highest goal in life. We need the same Holy Spirit that talked to Simeon. We need that same Holy Spirit to move in our hearts. Friends, don't let the good things that you pursue displace the best thing. It's okay to have a bucket list. It really is. It's okay to have life goals. But if you want your life to really count, make sure that Jesus is right at the top. Right at the top. I told you I'd be a little tough on you today, but that's why I'm urging you. I mean, you some sort of a Bible reading plan, okay? If you're already in one, you don't need to leave that one. Stay with it. That's good. But you got to find ways to be in the Word of God. Find ways to build those habits of prayer in your life where you can just get honest with the Lord about what's going on inside you. Search me, Lord, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And to find some environment somewhere. Now, we often call them connection groups. I mean, some of them are formal, some of them are informal, but just somewhere where you're talking with somebody about what's going on in your heart, because this is a full contact sport now, okay? Like, culture is a full contact sport. And either you'll be deliberate about following Jesus, or you're going to get creamed. It is going to be a harder time. Following Jesus is going to get harder for the next while rather than easier. And God can use that for good. He can. I believe this is a period of time where he is going to be strengthening and purifying his church. Because, you know, people that are just looking for God to bless them and hope everything goes well, but really Jesus is not really a life goal, these aren't the kind of people that are going to change the world. But people that are passionate about following Jesus, asking him to do the deep work in their life. God, address the sin in my life. God, address the hidden motivations in my life. God, speak to me about the trust structures in my life, the foundations of my life. I want to build my life, as we just sung, I want to build my life on your love. Change me on every level. I'm giving you access to every level of my life. These are people that God can use to change the world. He used a very small group of disciples, and we name cities after them now. The hospitals. We can't imagine the world apart from them now. It doesn't take many. But it does take faithfulness. So I'm urging you. Get in a reading plan. I'd love to equip you for that. I'd love to find a way to talk to somebody about it. Please, 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 please. So as we look to apply this to our life, on a maybe more personal level, I'm going to put a phrase up on the screen that's like a little prayer, I guess you could say. That now, if you've learned all the Christianese and you've learned how to like just act like a nice church person, this is a phrase that's going to roll off your lips really easily. But I hope that today it doesn't. I hope that today that this can be a place where you and I, we're just able to be honest with God. The phrase, of course, is, Jesus, you fulfill me. That Jesus, you're the one I'm turning to for the deepest needs of my life. Jesus, you fulfill me. Now, you could probably say that really easily, so I'm not going to try to prompt you or anything. But if you're just being really honest about it, some of that phrase for all of us is going to be hard to say. Because for all of us, on some level, I believe, there are other things that we kind of want more. Jesus, I hope you help me get a bigger house. Jesus, I hope you help my career to go better. Jesus, I hope you help my family to really thrive. And maybe he will, maybe he won't. But either way, following him is absolutely worth it. So to lean in for a moment, to lean into the resistance that your heart feels, even with that phrase. Maybe you're a little upset with me, with like, well, you know, why are you talking about this? Lean into that. Why does that bother you so much? Jesus, you fulfill me. Jesus, as I'm looking for fulfillment in my life, I want to turn to you because you're the one who can fill me. Oh, it's like a bunch of noise back there. I don't know. Jesus, you fulfill me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And just to let God talk to you about that. What are your life's goals? What do you really, really want? What keeps Jesus from being that highest aim in your life? Why is it's so easy to just put our faith on the back burner and then get really excited about something else? Whether that's a political victory, maybe a sports team, the relationship you're pursuing. Why is it money gets deep under your skin? Why are you so worried about that? Why are you still chasing your father's approval? Jesus, you fulfill me. And maybe even as you are praying, I hope this can be an environment where you can just be honest with God, even just for a moment. Maybe somewhere in that prayer, then you can ask him to do what he's been longing to do for so long. Jesus, would you fill me? Jesus, fill me. I need you. I need you in my heart. I need you in my life. Jesus, you are the deepest desire of my soul. Help my soul not just get crowded out by the strong desires around me. Fix my heart on you, Jesus. Fill me. Fill me. Jesus, fill me. Fill me, because only you can fill me. So we pray all these things In Jesus' name. Amen. There's an old song that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. In other words, there's all these other things I could put my hope in. But I'm going to fix my heart on the one thing that's going to last, the one thing that's going to matter, the one thing that will be the very center of my joy, the center of my future 10,000 years from now. So invite us to stand. Actually, Ian and Karen are going to lead us in song with a song that's kind of based on that old hymn. And invite us just to open our hearts up to him and let him do that deep work in us.
Through the storm, he is Lord.
Please have a seat. Oh. Those are good words to take us to communion. Invite you to take out a packet. If for some reason you didn't receive one and would like one, would you put your hand up and one of our amazing Paul will get that to you. I'd say our amazing ushers, but Paul does way more than us. I'm so grateful for him. You have an opportunity to remember the love and sacrifice of our Savior. It's an opportunity to remember how much you matter to God. And an opportunity to invite the Spirit of God into your heart in fresh ways through the sacrament. Because friends, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. He didn't have to open up a sterilized little cup thing. Though, if I'm honest with you today, I'm especially grateful for it. That we can receive communion together in ways that don't make anybody sick. I'll figure this out. There we go. He took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body. Do this remembering me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, remembering me." And so, friends, as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. He is coming again. It might be in our generation. It might be 7 generations from now. It might be 100 generations from now. That's up to him. And until he comes, he has promised to be with us. Lord, thank you for what this wafer of bread and this little cup of juice represent. You gave your body, you shed your blood out of love for me and us, out of love for this broken world. You entered it, you redeemed it. And you invite us to follow you in your mission in it. Lord, meet us by your Spirit in fresh ways in this meal. Strengthen those who come into worship today all beat down. Challenge those who come into worship complacent. You know what to do. You love us so much. Lord, help us to love you back. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you, now if you're with a family member, maybe you can exchange things if you'd like, but more than anything else, as you partake or the people around you partake, look somebody in the eye. Look somebody in the eye and speak the words you see on the screen. As they're partaking, tell them, remind them this is Christ's body and it's given for you. Tell them, remind them, this is Christ's blood. It's shed for you, Kathy. Remind them of that. They need to know. Serve one another in Jesus' name. Serve one another.
Christ alone, cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love.
Church, let's stand. We're going to close with the prayer that is often called the Lord's Prayer. Is there words that can anchor our hearts and remind us of the community, the larger community that we're part of, not only here in the local church, and wow, I hope we connect, but churches all across the valley, churches and ministries all around the world. We're a small part of a big thing. Let's pray these words out loud, okay? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So a few just quick announcements as we're heading out. There's some connection group leaders back there. If you have questions about connection groups, go talk to a leader. Sign up for one. Find some place somehow to connect. And if you can't find a group that fits your schedule, make one. Make one. We're going to put a couple discussion questions on the screen. You can take a moment and talk about those. We also have a prayer ministry back in the back. You might let somebody pray with you. Because my hunch is God's stirring some stuff in your heart. If we're serious about following Jesus, he's going to start uncovering stuff in us. And you're going to need to talk to somebody. That prayer station would be a safe place. And look me up. I'd love to meet sometime. So let's pray as we go. God, as we go from this place, Lord, help us to go as people that put you as the highest priority in our life. Lord, your love changes us from the inside out. You've got a lot of transformational work to do in us. I know you do in me. But Lord, as I look at the world around me and we look at the world around us, God, we see a world that is just in desperate need of your hope, desperate need of your love. Lord, help us to be ambassadors of that love in every place that we go. Jesus, you fulfill us. So Lord, send us with your blessing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Love you guys. Yeah.